Hello, this is Lois Pausch, reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, October the 13th, 2017. And I'll begin today with an article with the headline, Schlarman Honors Cullen Randolph into Hall of Fame. Dateline Day. Okay, I was reading along at a coming football game at 7 p.m. Schlarman is very proud to be honoring Cullen and Randall. We are happy to add them to our prestigious list of past inductees, said Gail Lewis, Schlarman Academy principal. Cullen of Lafayette, Indiana, is retired, having worked for newspapers and editing the weekly Catholic Moment. Randall, who lives in Northern Virginia, is executive director for the Pontifical North American College, the American Seminary in Rome, Italy. The first Hall of Fame awards were established in 1974, with the first given to Zeke Bratkowski, former football player and a quarterback in the National Football League. Both graduates said it was an honor to be nominated and selected. Cullen said, I worked harder at Schlarman High School for lower grades than I ever did in college, but I received a first-class education there. I love the school and the friends I made there. I'm so grateful to the priests, sisters, and lay teachers who prepared me both spiritually and academically for life and work. I think that most alumni feel the same way. Cullen was nominated by Paul Janicek. Paul said, my years at Schlarman were among the most formative of my life. It was there that I was called to convert to the Catholic faith, a decision that has impacted my professional and personal life ever since. I am pleased to know that the rich educational experience I received many years ago continues today at Schlarman Academy. Randall was nominated by John O'Rourke and Rai Carinatu. While at Schlarman, Cullen was an Illinois State Scholar and Eagle Scout. He was a member of the Honor Roll, Sodality, and the Summit staff. He worked as a stock boy and volunteered at Head Start at St. Patrick's School. He received an associate's degree from Danville Area Community College and a bachelor's in journalism from the University of Illinois. Before retiring, he was Director of Planning and Communications for the Catholic Diocese of Lafayette and was writer-editor of the Catholic Moment, a weekly newspaper. Cullen, a longtime award-winning columnist for the Commercial News, has written many columns about his alma mater for the newspaper and has been a guest speaker at Schlarman. Cullen keeps in touch with Schlarman and his classmates through the Yahoo email group, which he co-founded and serves as moderator. Past awards include the Danville Area Community College Distinguished Alumnus Award. Cullen has received 20-plus journalism awards, both national and state, including the Indiana and Illinois Press Associations, Associated Press, and the Herbert Bayard Swopes Award for Features Writing. He also has received an Illinois Preservation Association State Award for coverage of historic preservation issues. Cullen is a board member of the Tippecanoe County Historical Association in Lafayette and a life member of the University of Illinois Alumni Association. He and his wife, Lori, have two daughters. Randall was senior past class president and had the lead role of Christ in the musical Godspell while at Schlarman. He was a student ambassador, read the daily announcements, and played the keyboard at basketball games with the pep band. He also participated in student council, the school newspaper, chorus, band, social science club, track, and the summit. He has consistently organized the class of 1987 reunions and has supported various Schlarman events. Randall earned a Bachelor of Business Administration degree from St. Joseph's College in Indiana. He also holds the Certified Fundraising Executive Credential. He is the executive director of the Pontifical North American College, the American Seminary in Rome, Italy, and oversees all operations of the college in the United States. Randall was director of advancement for the High School of St. Thomas More in Champaign and later was director of development at St. John's Catholic Newman Center at the University of Illinois. He also served on the alumni board of directors at St. Joseph's College in Rensselaer, Indiana. He also served as vice president for advancement at Wyoming Catholic College in Lander, Wyoming. Several recognitions and accomplishments include the Central Illinois Magazine's 40 Under 40 Man of the Year in 2008. He was honored by St. Joseph's College for service on the Alumni Board of Directors and for achieving Executive Director status for the Pontifical North American College in Rome. He has an office in Washington, D.C. and Rome. Randall has appeared on EWTN. He was the co-founder of the Illinois Catholic Prayer Breakfast and event chairman of the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. Randall's civic involvements include Rotary International, the Knights of Columbus, and the Association of Fundraising Professionals. He and his wife, Colleen, have three children and reside in Northern Virginia. And the next article has the headline, Playing Host. Tour of industries back with largest number of businesses. Dateline Danville. In the 4 years, local industries have been open for public tours. 2017's Tour of Industries has its largest number of participating businesses. The public can tour 8 industries as part of the one-day special event for behind-the-scene tours. Vermilion Advantage hosts the tour. The 8 companies participating are Automation International, Danville Metal Stamping, FiberTech, Hall of Fame Plaques and Signs by Trigard, Thyssen Group, Presta Camshafts, Thyssen Group Crankshaft Company, Viscofan, and Watchfire Signs. The Tour of Industries will take place from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. October 21st. First tours start at 9 a.m., with the last tour starting at 2:30 p.m. No registration is required to attend the event. Go to any of the participating industries to take the approximately 30-minute tour. Tour participants can register to win prizes, learn more about the companies, and receive information about job openings. There are some safety and age requirements. Tour guests are required to follow safety guidelines, including long pants only, no shorts, skirts, or dresses. Recommended long sleeve shirts at FiberTech, closed toe, closed heel shoes, athletic tennis shoes with rubber soles recommended, no cameras or cell phone use in the buildings, and no jewelry. Additional requirements in several companies include minimum age restrictions for children. Most minimum ages range from 7 to 10 years of age. Visitors at FiberTech and Viscofan must be at least 14 years of age. All children younger than 16 must be accompanied by an adult at all other locations. Parking will be available near each business. Specific parking and additional event information is available at www.madeinvermilioncounty.com. New this year, the first 100 visitors of the Hall of Fame plaques and signs by Trigard will receive a custom-made medallion featuring the Tour of Industries logo, and guests will tour the bronzing facility. Viscofan marks its first time opening its doors to the public. Thyssen Krupp Crankshaft will provide tours of the forge operations in addition to machining. Thyssen Group Presta Tours will be led by high school youth apprentices. Danville Metal Stamping will offer a first look at its new building and new processes occurring in the Eastgate area. And 3 of the most popular companies from previous tours, Automation International, Watchfire, and FiberTech, will showcase their innovative processes and products. Automation International 1020 Ball Street, Danville. Unique size and complexity of the equipment the company designs and builds. Cutting-edge technology used for many products, highly automated processes and systems. Danville Metal Stamping, 400 Eastgate Drive, Danville, discovered the intricate details and steps necessary to produce an array of sheet metal components and assemblies used in turbine engines for the aerospace and power generation industry. Through the forming, machining, assembly, and quality control processes, visitors will witness the transformation of raw material into finished product with tolerances less than the thickness of a sheet of paper. Fibertech, 3650 Southgate Drive, Danville, beginning-to-end process of wet chop fiberglass product to finished fiberglass mat product. It has 300,000 square feet foot warehouse storing up to 15,000 fiberglass rolls. Oven dryer over 500 degrees. Hall of Flame plaques and signs by Trigard, 1125 North Kimball Street in Danville. A behind-the-scenes look at how plaques, memorials, and trophies are created, start-to-finish process, including designing, engineering, programming, CNC machining, sandblasting, powder coating, painting, assembly, and large-format printing. At ThyssenKrupp Cresta Camshafts, 70 Walls Creek Drive, Danville. Technically advanced processes, robotics and computer numerically controlled machinery, safe, clean, organized, and efficient production facility, people of all ages with all different specialties. ThyssenKrupp Camshaft Company, 1000 Lynch Road in Danville, production site of machined crankshafts, advanced technology with high levels of automation. Viscofan, 915 North Michigan Avenue in Danville, the process of taking white fibrous paper and turning it into a clear plastic casing. The vast variety of colors and functionality that Viscofan incorporates into its cast casings. The red rind on bologna, participants will get to see where it comes from and what purpose it serves. Watch Fire Signs at 1015 Maple Street in Danville. High-tech printed circuit board assembly facility, robotic electronic manufacturing equipment, sophisticated color and brightness camera calibration system. Judd Peck, president of Danville Metal Stamping, said they've participated in the tour of industries for several years, and we find it a lot of fun and actually satisfying for employees who participate giving tours and things. It makes them realize how interesting, I guess, what we do here. Otherwise, it's just their job. It's a great thing. We are featuring the Eastgate facility, which is new to us, Peck added. Marguerite Bailey, local Boy Scouts Cubmaster, places the tour of industries on the Boy Scouts calendar of events and encourages local families to attend. There's always science and technology incorporated, she said, about certain Boy and Cub Scout awards and merit badge activities. The Boy Scout Supernova Awards recognize superior achievement by a Boy Scout in the fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. In other words, STEM, Bailey said. With the tour of industries, local youth can learn about technology and the role of robotics in local industries, such as at ThyssenKrupp. She said she took her children to the tour of industries 2 years ago. My 16-year-old didn't know about the internship program through ThyssenKrupp, she said, adding that they also learned about the grade point average needed. It's a good way to find out about job opportunities, Bailey said. She definitely encourages families to attend the tour. This is the fourth year for the Tour of Industries. It started in 2013, but took a year off last year. Vermilion Advantage President and CEO Vicki Haugen said they're excited about the return of the event this year and having the most industries ever participate. The goals of the tour have included informing the public about today's manufacturing, what is made locally, and what job openings are available or could be in the future, and what their qualifications are. The tours also have highlighted the workforce that has made the business successful. And the next article has the headline, Prison Inmate Assaults on Officers Up 51%. Excuse me. Dateline Springfield. Illinois officials are cutting costs by putting violent prisoners in less secure prisons. A driver behind a 51% increase in inmate assaults over 2 years, a state employee union said Thursday. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Council 31 asserted that Governor Bruce Rauner's campaign to reduce the prison population has meant an 18% drop in maximum security prison populations. At the same time, assaults on corrections officers jumped from 541 in 2015 to a projected 819 this year, AFSCME Executive Director Roberta Lynch, surrounded by correctional officers who had suffered or witnessed attacks, said at a Springfield news conference. Is it because prisons with lower security levels have lower staffing levels and cost less to operate, and that far too little attention is paid to the human cost of increasing violence against staff? Lynch asked, noting the recurring pain, the family turmoil, the physical trauma, and the permanent disability that can occur when staff is subject to violent assaults. Illinois Department of Corrections Director John Baldwin, meeting later with reporters, rejected AFSCME declarations that management doesn't care and dismissed the AFSCME's claims of budget-driven security reclassification. He said the department is changing its classification of system for inmates to replace a 30-year-old model, acknowledging that we have a lot of population in the wrong place. Staff said we need to know more about the offender, and we're trying to get them that information. Staff are the best people to deal with the offenders, Baldwin said. AFSCME counted assaults by calendar year, 541 in 2015 and 819 projected this year based on a year-to-date data. Baldwin said the department counted a 27% increase over fiscal years, 566 in the year that ended June 30, 2015, to 761 in the year that ended last June 30th. 7 in 10 assaults are perpetrated by mentally ill inmates, Baldwin said. Key to reducing those, he said, is training approved by the National Alliance on Mental Illness, which all department employees have had in dealing with sometimes uncertain responses and reactions associated with mental illness. Alanea Lewis, an officer who suffered a concussion in an attack that sent half a dozen staff members at the maximum security lockup in Pontiac to the hospital last year, said the inmates responsible have been charged with battery in criminal court, but corrections department disciplinary infractions were dismissed. Baldwin denied AFSCME's claim that misbehavior isn't punished, saying the agency disciplinary system is robust. Officer Cody Dorns from East Moline complained that an improper radio communication system delayed the response to a bloody attack on a guard who was alone on a 100-inmate unit recently. Baldwin said the officer's distress call was heard and that he has sought legislative appropriation for new equipment repeatedly, but has been stymied by the state's budget problems. And now an article with the headline, Cub Scouts Plan. Here we go. And that's the pause button. Okay. Cub Scouts Plan Special Event. One way for boys to get started in their quest for outer space is joining a Cub Scout program. Of the 312 pilots and scientists selected as astronauts since 1959, 180 were active in scouting, according to information from the Boy Scouts Prairie Lands Council. Every new Cub Scout who joins the Prairie Lands Council this fall will receive a free rocket kit to be launched at an upcoming event. Boys in grades kindergarten through 5 are eligible to join Cub Scouting at any time at a variety of locations around Vermilion County. The rocket launches will take place at Camp Robert Drake near Catlin on October 29th. The Smilin' Pupkin Outdoor Sports Fest, sponsored by the Illini Lodge of the Order of the Arrow, will provide youth ages 5 to 11 with 2 rocket launching platforms, as well as outdoor challenges from 1 to 4 p.m. on the Prairie Lands Council camp property. In addition to the rocket launches, other events will include shooting sports, bicycling, water bottle rockets, pedal car racing, fishing, basketball, and soccer challenges. A fun part of the action will include giant launchers aimed at enormous pumpkin targets. This will be a fun afternoon of outdoor games for current and potential Cub Scouts and families. Cub Scouts are encouraged to bring a friend to discover the opportunities in scouting and receive a free rocket. Illini Lodge of the Order of the Arrow is a national honor society in the Boy Scouts of America with a goal to help promote the outdoor programs. The Smilin' Pumpkin Outdoor Sports Fest is designed to provide an enjoyable introduction to younger families to the opportunities available at Camp Drake and in the Boy Scouts of America programs. They will include shooting sports at the three separate BB gun shooting ranges and three different archery ranges. For speedsters, the wheels will be rolling for Cubs on wheels as the pedal cars roll through the camp. A special Cub Scout biking trail will be set up with vehicles for young and old provided on the southwest side of the camp. All participants will appreciate the scenic beauty of Camp Drake, especially out on the hiking trails along the Salt Fork River. In addition, sports games and activities will be set up throughout the facility for families to show off their athletic talents. Participants for the event can register on the day of the activity at the Camp Drake Dining Hall, adjacent to the main parking area. For information, contact the Raymond Lee Scout Service Center by phone. Call 800-464-7291, extension 6447, or visit the Camp Drake website at http://www.campdrake.com/. And now for the obituaries. And the first is for Judy Parliament, 72, of Apache Junction, Arizona, formerly Oakwood, Illinois, passed away on October 8, 2017 in Arizona. The family will be hosting a celebration of Judy's life on Sunday, October 29th, from 1 to 3 p.m. at Sarge's Tap Banquet Hall, 409 East Main Street in Danville. And the next is for Robert Spearing. Robert Dean Spearing, 67, of Covington, died on Wednesday, October the 11th, at home. Services will be at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tomorrow, Saturday, October 14th, at Shelby Funeral Home with Andy Harkle Road officiating. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. Burial will be in Lower Mound Cemetery with military services by Vetersburg American Legion. And the next is for Anthony I. Shaw, 53, of Lafayette, Indiana, formerly of Danville, who died on October 10th at home. Arrangements are incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home in Danville. And now we go to an editorial with the headline, Keep Your Fingers Crossed. One of the wouldn't it be great wishes for the city might become a reality if the new owner of Brasee Tower can carry through on plans to renovate the century-old building at Main and Vermillion Streets. Historic Restorations Incorporated, based in Alabama, is the Brasee's new owner. Its representative told the Commercial News plans for call for renovation to begin on the building's exterior as soon as late spring. The building had been owned by First Corbin Financial Corporation in Kentucky, who reportedly gave the building away. Estimates to renovate the exterior exceed $1 million. Historic Restoration plans to begin renovating the structure, which its engineers say remains sound, and possibly hand off proceeds to a private developer to finish the job. The job will require several years to complete, according to the Historic Restoration representative. The 12-story building towers above downtown and is physically connected to the Vermillion County Courthouse Annex. A completed renovation would mean additional professional and housing space, with retail space a possibility. City officials remain wary, as they should. Historic Restorations is a relatively new company without a long track record of completed projects to gauge its ability to tackle a job such as the one the proceed presents. If the project falls apart for some reason, the deteriorating condition of the building could require its demolition. That would cost local taxpayers significant money. We're keeping our fingers crossed that the plan succeeds. Historic Restoration representatives plan to be in Danville today to look over the property. We hope their plans become reality and a restored Brissee stands for another 100 years. And now there's an article with the headline, Church Finds New Home. Logansport, Indiana. After years of waiting, a Logansport church finally has a place to call home. Church of the Heartland Logansport, one of seven church plants of the same name across northern Indiana, launched its new location on October the 8th. The church is housed at the former Benjamin Long Center, 101 North. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. It's Cicott Street, C-I-C-O-T-T Street. The Logansport Parks and Recreation Board in November 2015 sold the one-time recreation center to the church for a dollar. On Sunday morning, teaching pastor Heath Hyatt gave a message focusing on the saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Many churchgoers wore t-shirts bearing the proverbial phrase during the 11 a.m. worship service. Each church attendee received a lemon during the service, and Hyatt told them to prayerfully referencing any hardships in life to God. Hyatt said the congregation's lemon was moving from place to place over the past few years. After leaving the Logansport Mall in spring 2016, the church conducted services at Riverside Park, Boondockers, the basement of the Baptist Temple, and even a family's living room before officially moving into its current location. He uses it all for his glory, Hyatt said during the sermon. He wastes nothing. Church of the Heartland planted the Logansport Church in 1999 at the corner of 15th and East Market Streets, said Herb Hyatt, Logansport campus pastor and founder of the church plants. He launched the first location in Winnemac in 1987. Heath Hyatt, the son of Herb Hyatt, said the church plants are the best way to reach people with the gospel. In addition to the seven Church of the Heartlands, the church in 1996 launched the North Central Indiana Bible College in Plymouth. 17-year-old Logan Torrey has grown up in the congregation for all her life. Her family started attending the church when it opened 18 years ago. It's really a great place to have a home, she said about the new location. Churchgoers have been working on modernizing the building over the past few years, Herb Hyatt said. They installed new heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems, insulation, walls, a second floor, and other improvements. Herb Hyatt said workers built the second floor over part of the old stage in the gymnasium. Part of that area is used for the church's children's ministry. Paul and Dodie DeWitt of Young America have been attending the church for about a year and have been involved with the construction work for most of that time. Paul DeWitt said they've assisted with anything they needed help with, adding it's been a group effort to renovate the building. It's been a transformation, Dodie DeWitt added. The building also doubles as the Heartland Community Center, Herb Hyatt said. Over the next month or so, church leaders will collect input from members on how they want to use the center for Logansport residents. Herb Hyatt said they want to minister to families, marriages, students, and the West Side neighborhood. That might include English as a second language or computer classes, he added. Anything to build and help our community is what we're after, he said. This has been Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, October the 13th, 2017. I look forward to reading with you again soon.